We have a closer look now at sanctions the White House has imposed today. Emily Kilcrease is an authority on sanctions with the Center for a New American Security in Washington, D.C. Emily, the second round of sanctions are meant to be an economic gut punch to Russia, including more Russian banks on the list. Why are they being added now?
Yeah, you know, I think what we saw today, it really is a gut punch. It's a massive set of sanctions incorporating not just the major Russian banks, more sanctions on Russian elites, but also a pretty unprecedented set of controls related to technology exports. And those are, it's the first time that they've been applied on a countrywide basis like this and done in such close coordination with allies. And so I think when we take stock of kind of what happened today on these sanctions, the entirety of the sanctions package, it is significant. It will have an erosive effect on the Russian economy over time. As the president pointed out, this is something that will continue to put pain in the Russian economy and hopefully on the political elite as time goes on.
It said, though, that one of the tools that the president could have added to the list of sanctions that would have hurt a lot is SWIFT, the banking system, which I'd like you to briefly explain for us. Asma and Eric just talked about that a minute ago.
Sure. So SWIFT, it's important to keep in mind that SWIFT itself does not move money around the globe. It's a messaging system. It's a very important messaging system that financial institutions use to communicate when they are trying to move money and process transactions. But the president actually pointed out, I think rightly today, that by actually imposing the sanctions directly on the Russian banks, that actually is more effective because you're going about and actually prohibiting the underlying transaction, not just how the banks communicate about it.
Were you surprised that it's not on the list and that the president said that he and his European allies are not united on whether to add this to sanctions?
I'm not surprised that it's not on the list. I was a little surprised that he seemed to blame the Europeans so clearly on that, because other than that, I mean, they have been trying to be really careful about presenting a united, coordinated front and not show any fracture within the alliance.
Russian energy giant Rosneft was not part of the sanctions package either. What are the sensitivities there?
Clearly, the president and European allies are very concerned about impacts on global energy prices. And taking a direct hit on Rosneft would really roil those oil and gas markets and raise energy prices. You heard the president talk directly about that today. Clearly, they are trying to avoid putting the stability of the global energy markets at risk here, but putting all of the other options in the financial sector and in the technology sector on the table to try to compensate for that.
White House is promising to cut off more than half of Russia's high-tech imports. What effect could those restrictions have?
Those are going to be pretty biting over time. Those are not the kind of sanctions that will impact Russia's technology sector tomorrow. But as any company in Russia needs to replace their data servers, their electronic equipment, their computers, their aerospace equipment, whatever it is that's subject to these lists, and it is quite a bunch of stuff, they're not going to have access to Western technology to be able to do it.
Just to interrupt for a second, is that going to hurt the companies in the U.S. and elsewhere that are providing that technology?
There will be some effect. I don't think Russia is a major market for most of these companies, but I think this is an area where the impact on Russia will be much more significant than any kind of blowback economic effects on the U.S.
Could it be that China steps in to fill the void on semiconductors and other high-tech gear?
It's clearly a possibility, but we have to keep in mind as well that China is reliant on foreign chip technology. I don't really think they want to put themselves in the crosshairs of essentially violating major sanctions from the U.S. and allies in order to support Russia. So it's a possibility, but there's also clearly some disincentives for China to take that action.
Why do you think that Joe Biden did not put on the list a sanction against Vladimir Putin himself?
It's possible they're trying to hold something like that in reserve. There is an invasion. There is going to be further action, military action, including movement on the Capitol. It's possible that they are trying to hold that very personal sanction approach to some of those kind of more final actions and final stages of the battle.
And what would such a personal sanction look like?
It would be more symbolic than anything else. It's not like Putin is traveling to the West or, engaging in a bunch of financial transactions directly with Western banks himself. It's really the diplomatic and symbolic effect of sanctioning the sitting leader of an adversary country.
Just to push on that, it would mean he couldn't do what?
It depends on how they craft that sanction, but it would likely mean that he couldn't travel. There would be travel bans. It would mean that he would not be able to, engage in any sort of transactions outside of Russia on a commercial or financial basis. He'd essentially be trapped in Russia or in some of the adversary countries that are not participating in the sanctions.
Very briefly, is it possible that sanctions, no matter how draconian, will not stop Putin?
Well, unfortunately, they don't seem to have stopped him yet. And that was an interesting dynamic in the statements from the president, where he seemed to be shifting away from portraying sanctions as a deterrent effect and focusing more on their long-term corrosive pressuring effect. So they haven't worked so far. We'll see how they go over the next couple of months.
Emily Kilcrease of the Center for New American Security in Washington, D.C.